Well, coming up Thursday evening, UMD's Center for Ethics and Public Policy will be welcoming Winona LaDuke. Her presentation will have to do with returning ethics to public policy discussions. And Winona LaDuke joins us on the phone this morning. Hey, Winona, good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. You have a lot of different areas in which you are conducting public policy discussions. You are, of course, the executive director of Honor the Earth, and you're also working to talk about the Enbridge pipeline and to protest that pipeline. And, of course, with what's going on with the presidential campaign right now, some of the things that we're seeing in the news, ethics, civility, those kinds of things seem like they've just been sort of thrown out the window this time around. What's going on with us? Why can't we be grown up with one another?
Well, I think that's a good question. I mean, I feel like that this 2016, and we should treat each other well. We should learn from the history of how public policy has been conducted poorly in the past and how it has worked well in the past. And we should be evolving. And, you know, I think that all of us want things to go well in the North Country or around the world, and now would be the time to do that. You know, I was asked to lecture on this, and I'm going to give both a historical look at some of Minnesota's policy, the 1890s on, the fact that within 75 years, there were 52 million acres of the Great Lakes deforested, largely benefiting some lumber companies. The Congress Mansion, for instance, Glen Sheen, is that what it's called?
Yes.
That was built largely on lumber taken from White Earth Reservation for about a fraction of what it was worth. 70 million feet were taken off my reservation in 1889, up to around 1911, when actually down on Mille Lacs Reservation, the sheriff shackled the chief, Chief Fordina, and burned his house in front of him. That's a little bit of the history of public policy towards Native people of the state of Minnesota. And what I'm saying is that this is 19, this is a long time later. This is 2016, and we need to be doing things right, not only for Native people, but for everybody. And for those of us who've been, you know, involved in some of the issues, whether it is around PolyMet or whether it is around the Enbridge proposals, we're at this time where 40% of the lakes in Minnesota are already contaminated. The lakes that remain that are in pretty good shape are in the North Country. I think it's worth protecting them, not only for this generation, but the generations ahead. And in order to do that, you've got to take some hard looks at what you're doing in terms of your public policy and if it's protecting not just the interests of corporations, but also the interests of humans, but I always say relatives, whether they have wings or fins or roots or paws, because I think that public policy, really from, you know, an enlightened standpoint, that's what I would say, is intended because for humans to do good things, not only for the 1%, but for all of us. So I'm going to be talking about that range of issues, and obviously a lot of our experience as tribal members and as tribes, as well as other Northerners with the Enbridge Corporation.
One of the things that has been a sticking point, I think, all along, and that has been very difficult for European Americans in particular to wrap their heads around, though, is the idea that Native people's ethos, their ethics, are different than, in many instances, the ethics by which European Americans live. And so when you say returning ethics to public policy, it may be difficult to agree on whose ethics and which ethics. How do you open that discussion? How do you move forward knowing that the two sides, for example, may be on different pages?
Well, you know, that is a great question. And you know, what I would say to start with is that at some point, we all had some similar ethics. I would say some of us got more greedy in our ethics, and those greedy interests took over a lot of public policy. So, for instance, I don't know, about a month ago, I was out in Wisconsin visiting these guys who make fertilizer out of fish guts, the Dram Corporation, you know, family corporation. I'm super interested in that because you know, fossil fuels, things that end with side, like insecticide, pesticide, you know, all those things on your food and on your crops, we used to use fish fertilizer. So I'm talking to these guys, and they're talking about how their father or their grandfather used to taste the soil, in the spring. And I'm thinking, that was old German guy. You know, and what I'm thinking to myself is that everybody used to have some kind of connection. And then people got more, you know, the truth is that Native people retain that because our whole spiritual practice, our cultural practice is based on reaffirming our relationship to the earth, to Mother Earth, to all our relatives. And, you know, in this day and age, you know, I would say that we've had plenty of public policy that has been written for Minnesota Power, you know, for U.S. Steel, for Enbridge. And now there's very little left of this beautiful, you know, I mean, there's a whole world that is left, but this is a fifth of the world's water. And I feel like that, you know, indigenous ethics or land-based ethics or ethics that thought seven generations ahead. I mean, that's really what it is. In each deliberation, one should consider the impact upon the seventh generation from now. That's an ethical practice that comes from indigenous, you know, governance, that comes from indigenous governance. And that would be a mature, in my assessment, a mature practice of public policy and ethics. Don't just think about this fiscal year. Don't just think about this election year. Don't think about who's giving you your campaign contributions. You know, don't think about, you know, what, you know, think a little bit bigger. And, you know, on a worldwide scale, countries like Bolivia, Ecuador, Venezuela, all adopting the rights of nature as a core part of their constitutions, you know, old seeds, you know, the rights of life to not be patented, to not be owned. So, you know, it is, in many ways, I would say it's kind in public policy that is being, by more enlightened politicians in this era. And, you know, in this election, you know, it's nationally, to look at some of these issues as and, you know, very, very much a dichotomy of interest. And I would say that there's a lot of bullying.
Winona, you're breaking up just a little bit, so I don't know if there's a best place for you to stand where you are. You're breaking up a little, and we don't want to miss what you're saying.
Can you hear me
better now? You sound great. I wanted to ask you this idea of bullying, because you made a post on social media last night that talked about you didn't want to be bullied anymore. You shared that you had been bullied as a child and that you didn't want to be bullied by Enbridge, and you didn't want to be bullied by your tribal community either, or by certain members of your tribal community. We're starting to get a little bit more aware of this whole idea of bullying and realizing that it doesn't stop once we leave school. What role does awareness of bullying have as we move forward and want to talk about public policy and want to talk about how our lawmakers and how our officials should be behaving?
Well, I'll tell you that I'm pretty privileged. I traveled up to Canada and I met with some of the First Nations, Indian Nations up there, and what they told me that Enbridge did is some of those communities are fly-in communities. Some of those communities don't even have electricity except for a diesel generator. And Enbridge came into them, and you know, some of those communities have very poor health conditions, and they shouldn't have that. They already have problems in there. And Enbridge came into them and said, we need this right-of-way renewed, or we need a new right-of-way. We're going to give you $15 million this week, and next week we're going to give you $10 million. So you just sit and think about that. And that is bullying. You know, when you take people vulnerable and you threaten them with, you know, access or limiting their access to resources, and they're already in a situation like that. I don't like that. You know, I didn't like when the company came down here and working with the Public Utilities Commission, which should not be managing, you know, an EIS on an environmental impact statement, because they were required by the court, by the state court, to do an EIS. They already had granted Enbridge permits. You know, we were told that we had very little time to present. We were told what we could present on, and a lot of people were intimidated. A lot of people cried at hearings. We were told that, you know, we couldn't find the route. When we first asked to testify or review the route, we were told we couldn't have the route by the Public Utilities Commission because it was classified under the Critical Energy Facilities Siting Act. Throw a pipeline across your land, and you don't get to know where it is. You know, and then they act like they have more power than you. I don't like that. You know, I don't like that. And it's funny that you read my Facebook post. You know, I forget that my Facebook is, like, so big. You know, I got all these friends I don't know, but that is right. I was bullied as a child, and a couple days ago, some, you know, candidates that are running for the office, I'm running for the chairwoman of the White Earth Reservation, and some other candidates came to an event that, I had sponsored with, you know, and I invited some other candidates there. They started yelling at me and pointing their finger at me and yelling at other people there. And I thought, you know, that's not how our ancestors would like us to be. You know, so I think about that, and I don't think it is a native thing. I think that I would like to be the kind of person my ancestors are proud of, and I'd like to be the kind of person that my descendants are thankful to. You know, and to me, bullying is not a part of that. We want to be good human beings in every step.
Winona, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I wish we had a little more time to talk, but folks will have the opportunity to listen to your presentation on Thursday night here on the UMD campus from 7 to 9 p.m. UMD's Center for Ethics and Public Policy is co-sponsoring your lecture on returning ethics to public policy discussions, and it's going to take place in Bohannon Hall here on campus. Winona, thanks again for joining us.
Meekwich, thank you for calling me.
Winona LaDuke, our guest this morning here on Northland Morning.